Good morning, and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at www.businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Radio Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our special guest this morning is Russell Chu, Chief Operating Officer of the Air Traffic Organization at the Federal Aviation Administration. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning.
And joining us in our conversation, also from IBM, is Pete Boyer. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning.
Russ, can you please describe to us the mission of the FAA and more specifically of the Air Traffic Organization, otherwise known as ATO?
Well, sure. The FAA is really here to provide the safest and the most efficient aerospace system in the world. Now, about 80% of the FAA is the Air Traffic Organization. And the Air Traffic Organization really is the one that provides service to those who use the National Airspace System. And there's a lot of services that are provided. The most common one that everyone thinks about is air traffic control. But the reality is there's a lot of other services as well. There's weather briefings, there's navigation signals, communication systems, and things like that. In fact, what people don't know is that the Air Traffic Organization is in many ways a large telecommunications company within itself. We have things like microwave towers and things so that we can effect communications among all of our various facilities and communication from those facilities to the pilots who are using the system.
Is this primarily a U.S.-based organization or are there people internationally also?
Well, there's U.S. interests internationally, like in Puerto Rico, Guam, where we actually provide services there as well. But for the most part, most of the services are in the United States.
Your listeners may not know that you're relatively new to the FAA and, in fact, relatively new to government service. Can you tell us a little bit about your career?
Yeah, I'm actually new to government, completely new to government. I started off in the private sector. I did my undergraduate studies at Stanford University. I did my graduate studies at the University of Southern California and got interested in aviation while I was in school and actually completed most of my private pilot's license through my flight instructor while I was in undergraduate and graduate school. Following that, I came out and went on into the non-scheduled 121 cargo industry and then ended up in flying charter Learjets. And from there, got hired into American Airlines, and I spent about 18 years at American Airlines. And at American Airlines, I started out as a pilot, but within a couple of years, I was started into management there. And I started in pilot management at a crew base, ultimately ending up in systems and development because I have a background in many of my studies in information technology. And that led to regulatory business and ultimately running the daily operation at American Airlines. That's where I actually ended up before coming to the government.
You talked about ATO being about 80% of the FAA. What's the size and budget of your specific organization?
So the Air Traffic Organization is about 35,000 people. About 17,000 of those are actually in the kind of the traffic side of the business. About 7,000 or so are in the maintenance engineering infrastructure part of the business. It's different than the private sector. We look in terms of budgets. But it's in terms of budgets, it's about a $9 billion organization annually. About 6.5 of that is our operating budget, and about 2.5 or a little less than that is our capital budget. We operate about 50,000 flights a day, or we handle about 50,000 flights a day. About 35,000, depending on how busy the day is, are air carrier flights.
Russ, that's an impressive organization. Can you tell us more about your responsibilities and duties as the COO and how you support the mission of the ATO?
Well, being the first chief operating officer for the FAA and really the air traffic organization is only a couple of years old, my role was mainly to bring business-like practice into what was a government organization that was really in the service business. The service model, which is a business model that's age old, is a model based on the fact that you have customers that you're delivering services to and that you have owners that have certain expectations of what the characteristics and quality of that service is. Then you have employees, for the most part, are responsible for delivering the actual service itself. Now, in the service model, the balance between those three main stakeholders in that model is a very important balance to reach. What you find out when you really look at how government runs is not necessarily the clarity of what a service model is and why those three things need to be in balance. You instead have one of them taking priority over another depending on the budget, the pressure on the budget, the political environment at the time, what's happening externally in security and safety, and a lot of perceptions. And so to keep your eye on the ball and to move the business forward, you really have to have discipline around what exactly you define as your business and how you execute it. And that is not a characteristic of a typical, or I shouldn't say any typical because I don't know. I'm new to the government, and this is the only government agency I've been involved with. But when I arrived, after 3 or 4 months of assessment, it became pretty clear that a standard discipline around a business model was not there. The organization tend to react on an annual basis to the priorities that just happened to be present that year, and it was very hard for it to execute a strategy for the long term.
Shifting the discussion to performance-based organizations, why is this type of change needed within the government?
Well, I think about 10 years ago or so, the FAA came under a lot of criticism. About that time, there was a system called the Advanced Automation System, and it really was supposed to be the air traffic system of the future. And it failed. I mean, they shut the program down in around the mid-90s and had spent what was purported to be about $2 billion or more on that program. And so following that in the late 90s in the year 2000, there was an alarming increase in the number of passenger delays. If you remember the scare stories or the horror stories of being on an airplane and being stranded in that airplane for hours and hours waiting to take off or waiting to get to a gate or sitting in the terminal, those horror stories were rampant in the summer of 99, summer of 2000. And so it was during that time, really, that there was a commission that was established to look at that. And this congressional study determined that they should create an organization that was a performance-based organization because they saw that as the solution to these problems and that the FAA established a chief operating officer to run that. And hence the air traffic organization was born. Since then, and even during that time, there was also a recognition that the operating costs of the organization were rising. In fact, they were rising even though traffic was falling after 9/11. So all those factors put together really motivated everyone to try to do something different.
Russ, you use terms such as performance-based organizations and service provider model. What's been one of the greatest challenges in bringing these concepts and this lexicon to your role now in the government?
Well, the government process itself, no, even though we have both personnel reform and procurement reform at the FAA, the way those are designed were still designed around what I would call government process. And that process is based upon how money flows in the government and how priorities flow. Now, typically, a government organization is personality-driven because we elect officials and things like that, and fairly risk-averse because anyone appointed to run an agency or to run anything in the government is sometimes measured by not the output of the organization but managing to stay out of trouble with the organization because there are a lot of political things and oversight that occur that can damage one's future, and particularly if you're a political appointee. So a performance-based organization is intended to supersede that, to go from a risk-averse culture to a performance-based, metrics-driven culture is a very, very important aspect of the air traffic organization, but is very, very difficult to actually achieve in a government process-oriented organization.
Great. How is the ATO becoming a performance-based organization? We will ask COO Russell Chu to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.